I want to read for you a little story this morning to start us off. There was a group of citizens in a small town who were busily engaged in digging the foundation for a new synagogue when a disturbing thought occurred to one of the laborers. "What are we going to do with all this earth we're digging up?" he asked. "We certainly can't just leave it here where the temple is to be built." There was a hubbub of excitement as the men rested on their spades and pondered the question. Suggestions were made and just as quickly rejected. Suddenly, one of them smiled and held up his hands for silence. "I have the solution," he proclaimed. "We will dig a deep pit, and into it we will shovel all this earth we're digging up for the synagogue." A round of applause greeted this proposal until another raised his voice in protest. "That won't work at all. What will we do with the earth from the pit?" There was stunned silence as the men tried to cope with this new problem. But the first soon provided the answer. "It is very simple," he said. "We will dig another pit, and into that one we'll shovel all the earth we're digging now, and all of the earth we take out of the first pit. The only thing we must be careful about is to make the second pit twice as large as the first one." There was no arguing with this example of law of wisdom, and the workers returned to their digging. I'm not going there, Ken. He just made a comment about the federal budget, perhaps. He said it, not me. That was him. Interesting story about wisdom, is it not? This morning we're going to be looking at wisdom from Scripture, from the Old Testament especially. We're continuing on in our series about life. And what is it that God is offering to us? He's offering us this thing called life. And we find it described throughout Scripture, what exactly it is that God is offering to us. This morning we're going to be focusing our attention on a few verses out of Proverbs chapter 8. And then, actually, we're going to be dancing all the way through the book of Proverbs and some in Psalms as well. But if you would, please turn to Psalm chapter 8. Proverbs. That's what I meant. The other book of Proverbs, which is anyway. I may make that mistake. For some reason, I am becoming very tongue-tied this morning. So please bear with me. I'm going to try to be talking about Solomon at times, and I'm sure it's going to come out as somebody else's name at some point. So just go with me on it, all right? Just go with me. So we're looking at the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, trying to understand this thing called wisdom. Let me read for us. Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 1. "Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice?" I'm reading from the New American Standard, by the way. "On top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she makes her stand beside the gate at the opening of the city. At the entrance of the doors, she cries out, 'To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than the choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I might fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth, while he had not yet made the earth and its fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed the circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundaries so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me and injures himself, all those who hate me love death. This morning we're going to focus on the last few verses there of Proverbs 8. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. This morning we're going to answer some questions, hopefully. First of all, what exactly it is that we're talking about? What is this wisdom? How do we find wisdom? Why should we find wisdom? And what happens if we don't? This is what wisdom is crying out to us to answer these questions. And first of all, what is wisdom? Wisdom, as it's presented in the Old Testament especially, it's talked about much more in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament, because the New Testament assumes that you have the Old Testament foundation when you approach it. Wisdom in the Old Testament has really more to do with someone's view of the world, or what we term as worldview. It answers some big questions that everyone will ask at some point in his or her life. Questions like, who am I? Why am I here? Is there a point to life? Does life have meaning? What am I supposed to do in this thing called life? Why is anything here? And wisdom seeks to answer those questions for us. Wisdom presents the answers from God's perspective for us, which is why you find throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because when I rightly understand that God is the Creator and that I am simply a creature that He has made, when I understand that proper relationship, that He is the one who tells me what life is all about, I don't decide it for myself. When He tells me what is right and what is wrong and what is good, then I have to accept it from Him and not that I decide on my own. I don't get to make those decisions. And so the one who understands that, he lives in this fear of the Lord, where he places himself under God's authority and God's rule and experiences God's love and does the things that God asks of human beings. The fear of the Lord means that someone, and we talked about this many times in the last few weeks, the fear of the Lord is someone who recognizes God's truth, God's commands, God's ideas, and he adapts himself to those instead of trying to force the world around him to adhere to his ideas and his desires. He submits himself to God out of reverence and awe for who God is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when we start to see life from that perspective, that's when we start to understand what life is really all about and who I am. The problem with our society, with our world today, is they don't want to go there. And so we try to find alternatives to this. No, we cannot recognize that God is Creator, and so we have to start trying to come up with other answers to the questions of life. We will not start with God, and so we'll have to start somewhere else. And they necessarily come to wrong conclusions to the answers of the questions of life. And so God portrays wisdom as calling out to all of mankind. All around the world, God has put His wisdom in creation. And wisdom calls out to all mankind, crying out, "Listen to me, learn from me, follow what I am I'm suggesting, what I'm offering." And what's the invitation? "He who finds me finds life." This is God's call to us through wisdom. And so what we find, especially in the Old Testament, is wisdom is presented as insight into how to live life. And in Psalm 34, David suggests that, who is the one who wants to have life and see good days? I'll tell you how to do it. It starts with the fear of the Lord. And then he goes into certain things that we should do and should not do, things to avoid and things to pursue. Insight into how to live life. Wisdom at times is presented as a code of moral conduct. This is the right thing to do and this is the wrong thing to do. But it differs from the law. These are not things that are mandated. These are simply things that are presented as the best way. Law commands. Wisdom suggests. Wisdom presents and asks people to make a decision on their own. Weigh it out. Decide what is the best, what is really the best, as God describes it. This code of conduct is based on love. And I think some people might find that hard to believe. Wisdom really is the practical application of love. As we read in Proverbs, you can find all of these Proverbs that deal with things like how to deal with a spouse, how to deal with children, how to deal with your neighbor, how to interact with anyone you might meet. Why? Because it's all about love. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Wisdom teaches us how to do that. Wisdom is trying to help us understand how that looks in real, everyday life. Not simply some theoretical command, but practical truth. How do we do that? And so we find wisdom, especially as it's presented in Proverbs, touches every area of life. There really is nothing that is not addressed in Proverbs in some way. Whether it's relationships, parenting, your job, anything. You can find something in the book of Proverbs, this book of wisdom, that will give us insight into how to live life. And in fact, wisdom, really, the man who follows wisdom is expressing faith and trust in God. Solomon says in Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." How is that an expression of faith? Because we look at what God has said and we take Him at His word and we live it out. That's faith. Accepting what God has said and choosing to walk in it. And that is what Solomon is calling us to do in wisdom. That is what wisdom is calling us to do. Listen to the things that God has said and act on them. And so we respond to what God has said in faith. We saw this a few times already in the past several weeks. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man." We're all born with certain ideas and certain desires. We have an idea of how life should work, of how things should work, and usually it's centered on ourselves. And so we have this idea that whatever situation I walk into, I have my own personal agenda and life should follow my agenda. And oftentimes we get a very rude awakening. Why? Well, because you know what? The other person has his agenda too. And now we've got two people who are standing there saying to each other, "No, my agenda, no, my agenda, no, my agenda, no, my agenda." Watch sitcoms. This is the plot to every sitcom ever invented. "There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." What's the right way? Not my agenda, God's agenda. Not my agenda, God's agenda. Where both people, out of the fear of the Lord, submit their agenda to God's agenda and live life the way that He says it should be lived. There's a way that seems right to a man, and we have to change the way we think and instead adopt God's ways. In fact, Solomon says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. If I'm going to turn away from this book, if I'm going to reject this book and say it doesn't apply to me, guess what that means? God calls me a fool. Despising wisdom and instruction, God is offering us insight into life right here. He goes on to say this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Again, I have to not trust in my own thinking the way that I was born, but instead renew my mind. Allow my thinking to be changed, which then transforms who I am. And it comes from studying. It comes from learning what God has presented. So when we're talking about wisdom, this is what we're talking about. This clues to life, insight into life from God's perspective. Understanding how best to live life as God has designed it. Now, how do we find this wisdom? As we saw, wisdom is crying out. For he who finds me finds life. How do we find this wisdom? We're going to go through the book of Proverbs, kind of skipping along as we go. And we may go through the book of Proverbs several times this morning. Back and forth. So watch out for paper cuts. Be careful. But if you go to chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, here's what Solomon says. One of the ways that we find wisdom is by meditation, or what I like to call wrestling. Now, I didn't come up with that on my own, but I really like that idea. Wrestling with the Word of God. So here's what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of their wise and their riddles. Much of what is presented in the book of Proverbs is presented as riddles. Why? Well, for along the same lines as why Jesus would sometimes teach in parables. You can make a statement about truth, and people will perhaps accept it, perhaps reject it. Perhaps most of the time will just not even remember it. Jesus would teach in parables so that it was a story that would stick with people, but then not just stick with them, but they would ponder, well, what do you think he was really teaching in that story? What do you think he really meant by that story? And so much of what is presented in Proverbs is presented as these riddles as well. Why? Because God has so wired our brains that we like to solve puzzles. And so when you hear something that doesn't quite make sense, your brain starts to chew on it. Now, what's the problem is we also don't like to be told what to do. And so many times when we are confronted with the truth of what is presented here, we just reject it. And yet Solomon here is offering us this wisdom. If you will take the time and ponder the riddles, try to understand what it is that God is really saying, wrestle with it, we find this wisdom. He says that we must accept instruction, verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior. That's how we can receive this wisdom. Just learn. Learn from those who have it. Learn from those who are wise, who are teaching it. Verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord, again, is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We learn wisdom from the fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. It starts us on that path, the recognition of who God is and who we are. In verse 8, he says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Again, here's this idea of receiving it. We need to receive it from those who have it. Hear and listen, but not just accept, not just take it in, but then do something with it. Obey what it is that I am teaching you. Use it. Chapter 2, verse 3, Solomon says, "If you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding." James says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives freely to all." And so we recognize, again, part of that fear of the Lord is recognizing that God is the source of wisdom. God is the one who has the answers to life. Not me. I don't make them up on my own. And so I turn to Him and ask Him, what's the answer? Proverbs 2, verse 4, "If you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure," we are to search for wisdom. Seek to understand. Seek to gain this knowledge. And throughout Proverbs, it's presented as something that is better than treasure, better than riches. If you would search for gold, search for wisdom instead. It's much better. Chapter 3, verse 11. Solomon says this, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." How do we find wisdom? By receiving rebuke. By being disciplined, whether it's by a fellow human being or by God Himself. There are times when God is confronting things in our own hearts. And He uses sometimes rebuke or sometimes discipline to show us those things. And we, being wise people, should learn from those things that what it is that God is trying to show us. Toward the end of the book in Proverbs chapter 24, we find this, 24:30. "I passed by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw this, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man." Verse 32, "When I saw this, I reflected upon it." One of the ways we can learn wisdom is by looking at the things of life, the situations of life. I remember someone describing wisdom as learning from your mistakes, and someone else said, no. Real wisdom is learning from someone else's mistakes. Don't do what he did. And so we should spend time in reflection and thinking about life. What it is that we've seen, what it is that we can learn and glean from it. Why? Because God has infused His wisdom into life. And we can see it. How else do we find wisdom? We find it in Christ. Paul claims that Christ is our wisdom. Colossians, Paul presents there that in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so we can look at the life of Christ. We can look to Him and ask, turn to Him and find the wisdom that He is presenting. Why? He wants us to have life. One last one. We can look to the Scriptures. Paul wrote to Timothy, "You have known the Scriptures since childhood, the Scriptures that are able to give you, to make you wise unto salvation." And all Scripture, he goes on, all Scripture is God-breathed. God has already given us so much. He's already spoken to us so much. It's all given, breathed out by God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, which is what wisdom is really trying to do for us. That's how we find wisdom. Why should we find wisdom? What does wisdom present to us? Again, Proverbs 8, "For he who finds me finds life." How does wisdom present life? Or how does wisdom give us life? Throughout the book of Proverbs, we find that wisdom teaches the fear of the Lord. chapter 2. This is what Solomon is presenting. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, verse 5, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. And as we saw several weeks ago, the fear of the Lord is part of what it is to have life. This is what Moses was presenting to the nation of Israel throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Fear God, keep his commandments, walk with him, love God. They're all connected together. And here, wisdom teaches us this fear of the Lord. Wisdom promises to deliver us from death. Proverbs 13:14. The one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the command will be rewarded. And that's not the right one. That's verse 13. The teaching of the wise, it's still good. Don't get me wrong. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. That's the one I was looking for. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. Again, if we walk in this wisdom, if we listen to the teaching of those who are wise, they save us from the snares of death. That's why Solomon wrote this book of Proverbs, to help us in our walk to find life. Proverbs chapter 10. Wisdom shows us the path of life. Verse 17, he is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. Do you see a theme in these verses? There's this constant refrain of listen to what God has said. Listen to those who are following God. Listen to wisdom. And if you don't, you're going to go astray. If you don't, you're going to get snared. If you don't, you're going to end up in death. Proverbs 8. We've already read this. Verse 20. Wisdom says, I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice. In Proverbs 12, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. So in the way of righteousness is life, and wisdom is walking in the way of righteousness. Wisdom is trying to teach us how to walk in this way of righteousness, which leads to life, the path of life. And so if we follow wisdom, we are following God's ideas. We are following what God has said, and we will find what God has promised. The theological word book of the Old Testament says this, true wisdom for man involves knowing the Holy One. So, men are to listen to the wisdom of God with attentive ears. In fact, inner happiness only comes when man attains this wisdom through strenuous search, which is actually a search for God himself. Skeptics will never find this wisdom and will never know the full meaning of life. Wisdom is not something to be sought for its own end. It's not simply that we just acquire more wisdom. Wisdom is actually a pursuit of God. And the one who starts with the fear of the Lord understands that. Wisdom is a means. Wisdom is something that God has presented. Why? It leads us to life, which is why wisdom, God can say that wisdom cries out to all mankind, even those who don't have the Word of God. There is still wisdom in creation, and it cries out so that all men know, yes, there is a Creator. And I have to be rightly related to Him. I have to submit myself to Him. He who finds me finds life. But wisdom also says this, he who finds me obtains favor from the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let loving kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." Again, when we're following God's ways, it is pleasing to God. "He who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." In fact, if you look through the book of Proverbs, if you want to have fun, just look up the word delight. Here's some of the things you'll find. Things that God delights in. God delights in wisdom. God delights in just balances, fair trading, fair dealings with people. God delights in the walk of the blameless. God delights in those who deal faithfully. He delights in the prayer of the upright. Again, those who are living according to God's word, according to God's ways, are the ones that God favors. He delights in them. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32, he says that the Lord is intimate with the upright, those who are walking according to his ideas and his what he says is right and what is good. Psalm 147:11 says that the Lord favors those who fear him. And again, I think we should see this constant refrain, this constant theme throughout Scripture. We start with this fear. We start with this understanding, this recognition of God, and with submission to God's will, to God's ways, to doing things God's way, to living life the way that he describes it as best. To sort of sum up Proverbs 8, we might understand it this way. God used wisdom to create, and we saw that in that chapter. Wisdom claims to have been with God in the beginning and to have helped God to create the world. In so doing, God infused wisdom into his creation. We can find wisdom in the world that God has made. Man must walk in God's wisdom in order to experience God's fullness of life and creation. This is the summation of the book of Ecclesiastes. We read the book of Ecclesiastes, and it can seem like a very pessimistic book, where Solomon laments all these things that he tried. I tried pleasure, I tried money, I tried numbers of wives, all these things I tried, and there was no meaning to it. What was he really looking for? Not personal fulfillment. Not something just to occupy his time. He was looking for the key to life. What is it that would unite all of life to make it make sense, to answer the big questions? And what's his conclusion? Chapter 12, verse 12. At the end of the matter, here is the conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. Because this is what it is to be human. Fear God and walk in his ways. What if we don't? What does wisdom say? Verse 36. "But he who sins against me injures himself." Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. I'm not going to read this whole passage. "Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes, when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you." Wisdom has some pretty scathing criticism for those who reject her. "You do so to your own injury. chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. More warnings for us. When you walk about, their instructions will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you, for the commandment is a lamp and the teaching... Excuse me, that's chapter 6. I'm doing it again. Maybe I need glasses. Here it is, chapter 5, let's start with verse 21. When the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord... No, that's not it. For his own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Again, that's not a very, perhaps, enticing thing to hear it put that way. When we disobey wisdom, when we turn against wisdom, his own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Chapter 11 tells us the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. It goes on to say the treacherous will be caught by their own greed. In fact, the wicked are filled with trouble, and the way of the treacherous is hard. Again, wisdom is crying out, saying, please look. Look at the end. Look at where you're heading. Look at what path you're walking down. Is that really where you want to go? Which is why wisdom can say, all those who hate me love death. If we reject wisdom, we are on the path of death. So what? The call of wisdom is the call to renew our minds. It's the same thing that's presented in the New Testament. It's just a different way of saying it. We cannot trust our own thinking. We must adopt God's way of thinking. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. We find this throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament again. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Why? That's the pattern we walk in naturally. But instead, be transformed. Allow yourself to be transformed. How does that happen? By you renewing your mind according to what God has said. So the call of wisdom is a call to renew our minds. The call of wisdom is the call to redirect our hearts. Proverbs 28:26. We were watching some show last night, and this woman kept talking about the heart. You have to obey your heart. If you don't obey your heart, you're going to pay the price. What does God say? The heart's desperately wicked. He who trusts in his own heart is a what? But he who walks wisely will be delivered. Why? Because my heart wants things that it shouldn't want. And I have to redirect my heart to walk wisely according to what God says is good and what is right and what is true. Proverbs 23:19, listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. What way? God's way, the way of righteousness, which is the way that that wisdom travels. Now, how do we do this? How do we redirect? How do we change all this? Here's some examples. The poor man utters supplications, but the rich man answers roughly. What are we to understand from this proverb? How are we supposed to learn from this? What should we glean from this pearl of wisdom? What do you think? Please. Humility? Why is it that the poor man utters supplications? What are supplications? Perhaps he recognizes his neediness. Why is it that a rich man answers roughly?
Stubborn.
Sorry. Right. I mean, have you ever met people that were rich and they knew it? And how do they treat other people? I don't have to deal with you, rabble. I'm rich. I can be rough. I can afford it. And yet the poor man, who is the poor man? The poor man is the one who can't act that way. He's got nothing to back it up. The poor man is the one who has to ask. The rich man is the one who demands. Why? Because there is no humility in him. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than the one who captures a city. What is it that God might want us to understand from this? What is it that God might want you to understand from this? He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Very true. It is more desirable to control your spirit than to control others. Very true. Sometimes it's easier to fight something that's external than to fight something that's internal. Wisdom is trying to teach us to be this kind of person, the person who is slow to anger. Why? What does anger demonstrate? You're not meeting my agenda. And I'm going to do something about it. I'm strong enough to make you do the things that I want you to do. And yet God says, no, it's not about making other people do what you want. It's not about capturing the city. It's about being in control of who you are. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I think I got those mixed up. And self-control. God is trying to teach us to be in control of who we are. How does that play out? Again, these things are applicable to any area of life. Does this apply to marriage? To parenting? Do you ever feel angry at your job? I know. Someone said I got real close to preaching a couple weeks ago. Sorry, don't mean to cross that line. He who can, that's Paul's job. He's the preacher. I'm the teacher. We already made that up. I'm just kidding. This is stick with the program. He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. There's another proverb that says, "The tales of the whisperer are like sweet morsels that go down into the inmost part of our being." When we hear those little snippets of gossip, oh, they taste so good. But we don't want to keep it to ourselves, do we? They're too good to keep to ourselves, and so we have to tell other people. Did you hear what so-and-so did? But what is that demonstrating? He who conceals a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Again, the call of wisdom is to love. Practical love. We should not go around repeating things that we hear or things that we see. He who conceals a transgression seeks love. Another one that's not on the screen. They don't have it up here. Proverbs 16:2. This hit me in Sunday school this morning as we were listening to Dr. Hendricks on the video. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. Right? If I didn't think what I was doing was right, I probably wouldn't do it. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Oh boy. Think about that when you're making choices in life. Why? Well, I can rationalize pretty much anything I want. I can justify pretty much anything I want to do. But it's not about what I can rationalize or what I can justify. God weighs the motive of the heart. God knows exactly what it is that I really intended when I either said something or did something. I can put on a good show out here. God knows the motive. Along those lines, 21:2. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. That sounds familiar. But the Lord weighs the hearts. Again, does that apply to marriage? Does that apply to everything? The Lord weighs the motives. When I say things to people, am I really saying it out of love? Am I really saying it for that person's benefit? Or is it somehow perhaps to manipulate, somehow to get my way, to accomplish my agenda? Or is it truly because I want to live to please God and to love my neighbor and to love God? What are we supposed to do with all this? Renew your mind with God's wisdom. Perhaps, maybe it's meditate on one proverb a day. Just pick one. Write it on a card, carry it with you throughout the day, and just see how many times something might come up where that proverb would help you to understand what it is that God would have you do. Perhaps there's a particular struggle that you have in life. The book of Proverbs has an awful lot to say about our tongue and about our speech and about the way that we communicate to other people. Not just what we say, but the manner in which we say it. So maybe you really struggle with control of your mouth. Find what God has to say, what wisdom is teaching us. Meditate on those things, wrestle with those things, understand what it is that God is trying to teach you and expose to you, weighing your own heart. Listen to what He is saying about your heart. Maybe spend time in Proverbs chapter 2. You should have all received when you came in. If you got a bulletin, apparently you got one of these as well. There's a number of them on the back table if you did not get one. Just read through Proverbs 2. Meditate. Spend some time walking through this. Not just a couple minutes. Don't just sit down and read through it. Okay, done. But really spend some time with God just understanding what it is that He's communicating here. This is the Word of God. He has things for us to learn. He's giving us warnings. He's giving us helps. He's offering us something. But wisdom cries out. Wisdom says, here I am. I'm available. It's up to you. It's up to you whether you accept what I have to say or not. Very similar to Moses standing before the people. Choose. I've offered you the life and I've offered you the death. You choose. And wisdom cries out, listen. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to what I'm trying to teach you. If you will listen to me, you will find life. If you follow my suggestions, my instructions, you will find life. If you reject me, you find death. Let's be people who pursue life. Maybe spend time reading Proverbs 1 through 9. Just sit down and read Proverbs chapters 1 through 9. That sounds like a lot, but it goes pretty quick. Taking note of what it is that God is teaching us about wisdom. What it is that He's offering to us from His Word. And if there are things that you are struggling with that you need help with, we have people that would love to help you, to help you to understand God's wisdom, God's instructions on how to deal with any particular issue. We would love to meet with you and talk with you about those things. Please let us know. We want all of us to find the life that God is offering. It's ours to accept. He offers it to us. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God. Oh, God. Certainly you are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words. God, your wisdom is beyond understanding, unfathomable. And yet, God, you offer it to us. You offer your perspective on life to us. Oh God, I pray that we would be people who would be willing to submit ourselves to you and to take you up on your offer, to understand life as you intended it to be, as you designed it to be. May we search, Lord, in your word and understand what it is that you are teaching. Help us to put those things into practice, to use what we learn, and so demonstrate you to the world around us. Father, may you be glorified in the way that we live, in the way that we talk, in the way that we interact with one another, in the way that we love. Use us, God, to show yourself. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.